3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
To resurrect Anaxunamun, Imhotep and his priests broke into her crypt and stole her body. They raced deep into the desert, taking Anaxunamun's corpse to Hamunaptra, city of the dead, ancient burial site for the sons of pharaohs, and resting place for the wealth of Egypt.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, episode 416, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian, do not poke him in the eye with a candle, Dunaway.
It hurts so much. Oh, hi. I know as a priest and as a member of the Gold, you're not really supposed to chit-chat. However, I do have to ask, does this body paint make me look fat? No, it's all those cheeseburger from the Burger Pharaoh. Well, that's rather honest. Your strength gives me strength, I guess. Hey, don't poke me in the belly or the eye like Scott said earlier. Look what you did. You smudged my belly paint. come here. Come on. You know what we got to do. We got to rub our bellies together like a couple of pigs in the mud so I can get some paint back on here. Oh, yeah. This is inappropriate as hell. Uh-oh. Hi, Mr. Pharaoh, sir. Us? Oh, nothing. Just some priestly rituals you wouldn't care about. What's that now? Have we seen your mistress? No, but if you are so concerned about her whereabouts or anything else, you really should have put a ring on it. No, I have not heard of the Humdai. Ah, gotcha. In that case, come on in, Mr. Pharaoh, sir, and head back to the catchery behind that thin veil there. Really starting to see why they don't let us talk. Humdai indeed.
Nice. Well done, as always. Also with us, Randy, this movie is 20 years old. Jordan.
Hola, Scott.
Hello.
Brian. Mm.
Hola.
I know what you're thinking. What's a podcast like me doing in a guy like this? It's just like movies, man. And this Brendan Fraser, guys.
Yeah.
We love him.
Sweet.
I do love him.
Really love him so much. I don't know where I look. Yes, have I had a couple drinks? Sure. Who among us hasn't had a few? We mighty few. We band of blubbers. Still, no. Listen. Guys, listen.
Yeah.
I am not as think as you drunk I am. Let's do this.
Nice.
We should totally paint ourselves gold and go hang out.
You're almost as attractive. Every
90s drunk acting.
Yeah. And all I can picture is Rachel Weisz now with Randy's voice. That's not good.
She apparently has a lot of vices.
Bad visual. Also with us, and finally, Brian, how wide can you open your fly shooter, Ibbot?
I kind of like that each of us have taken a different character and we're all emulating that character.
Great.
So, I'll bet you're wondering what I've been doing for the last 3 years since me and the French Foreign Legion met up with the Tuaregs in Hamunaptra, and I ended up wandering the desert only to wind up in a Cairo prison. Well, I discussed the merits of George of the Jungle with my cellmate, who doesn't speak any English. Mm. I played chess using a set made of pieces sculpted from earwax and human hair. I was trotted outside just in time to see a very attractive British woman who came close enough to the bars of the prison that I was able to reach through and give her a kiss before I was beaten to half to death by the guards. And then on day two...
right?
Nice.
Life is complicated.
Nicely done. Well, what we've done here is lightly dress what is to be today's topic, and that is The Mummy from 1999. 1999's The Mummy. Same year as The Matrix, same year as the prequel started again with the stupid, terrible force, or what was the first one called?
Midichlorians.
I can't even think of the damn thing.
Same year that it was Y2K all up in our face.
Oh, yeah, man. I was playing, a lot of Half-Life mods. Like, those were the days.
Oh, and my God.
It's kind of shocking how 20 years ago is what we're talking about. That's just insanity to me. But there it is. And The Mummy is a... look, I'm just going to say it right now. I am a unapologetic fan of The Mummy. I think the first movie is great. I think it's fun. I think it's Indiana Jonesy. I think it's got some really great... some of the effects don't hold up as well as others, but there are some effects in there that I really like. I think the scarab beetles are rad. I want to tack onto
this a thought that I kept having, which is, you know, I remember seeing this the night it opened, and the thing about it is I remember having expectations that were completely blown out of the water. What I expected this movie to be based on its history and its name alone was so different than what I actually got, which was a romp adventure. I felt like it was better than it had any right to be, but it's because of my expectations. I was expecting a monster movie about a thing wrapped in rags that slowly walked around like a zombie.
Yeah.
And
we all were.
Right. And it just did not occur to me that this could be a love letter to like Indiana Jones and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now I still have that. I haven't seen the movie in 20 years.
Yeah.
And I watch it again with you guys, and I'm still able to access that feeling like, wow, this is so much more funny and fun than it has any right to be, or at least than my expectations would have imagined. And I see that in, like, if you haven't seen this movie yet, but you've watched other movies in the last 20 years, you might be in for a huge letdown. Sorry.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, you might be. Yeah. I mean, I would just so much more take this tone over that new one, that new
Mummy.
Yeah,
the Tom Cruise one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just so self-serious and stuff, and this thing is just kind of ridiculous and goofy.
It kind of had to be, because they were trying to set up a whole, you know, their version of the MCU. There was going to be this whole Dark Universe thing with... Johnny Depp and Javier Bardem as Frankenstein's monster, and you know, there was so many
Universal, you screwed it.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I was kind of
excited about that. And so I was like, all right, I'll give the Tom Cruise one a chance and kind of let it be its little self-seriousness. And it really did try to take itself way too seriously.
Yeah.
But this one is so much more fun, and what could have easily been written off as a Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, Indiana Jones ripoff, actually I feel like comes across as its own, I don't know, its own unique thing.
Yeah, it's still got that kind of Quartermain adventure-y kind of, you know, thing going on. It's set in it's set in Egypt, and they're looking at ancient Egyptian things, and you know, all of those things resonate with that action adventure pulpy comic sort of vibe. But where it wins for me is having fun. Like, there's moments to laugh. Death is in there, but not, you know, it's comic book death. The mummy itself, like Randy alluded to, is not your typical mummy. He's not wrapped all in bandages and walking around going,
no, he's basically a mummy for about a minute of film time.
Right. Yeah. Right. If even that, he didn't even really have the bandages as much. And then later, he just becomes a fully formed big
reincarnation.
Yeah, it's a South African dude who's a badass.
Egyptian pitbull.
Yeah.
And it's
by the way, I have to call him Billy Zane for the last 20 years.
So,
that was Billy Zane. I know it's not now.
It's not.
I've looked at the names, but that has been in my head for 20 freaking years. Just let me have that, please.
Okay.
No. We're together. I was the same way. I was like, wait a minute, that's not Billy Zane.
Okay, now this is funny, because I have none of that, but I think here's why. My favorite Arnold Vosloo movie is Hard Target, and he's the bad. We've seen that for film sack.
That's not Billy Zane as well?
No, that's a bad. He plays a bad guy. He's the one that goes, Boudreaux, 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 and shoots him in the head with a gun. He's great. Mm-hmm. And I associate him immediately as that guy from that. And to me, that's not Billy Zane. But the dude, one of the black rider protector dudes in this movie, the guys in all black clothing and their job the through Magi? The century, the Magi. Yeah, there the you
Magi.
Go.
Yep. The Magi.
The main Magi guy. I always think he's, on his face. Yeah, I always get him confused with this other guy in the same movie. So he shows up in like an episode of NCSI or something, and I'll go, oh, that's Arnold Vosloo. No, wait, that's not him. Is that him? Like, I get those two mixed up, and they're in the same damn movie. So,
well, there's a lot of things going on during this time. Back to Randy saying Billy Zane, because, you know, we watched The Phantom here on Film Sack, and it was a homage to the old school serial kind of shows, as well as this. I think that's the reason why this doesn't resonate as a direct copy of Indiana Jones. Is really just pulling from the same source material that Indiana Jones was.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason why you're seeing parallels there.
And that's not the only example of this for me in my memory for some stupid reason. And give me a trope alert, because there's a weird trope I want to get right away.
Early one.
This movie has bad guys coming at you from every direction. And one of them is Benny, the rival. Benny, you know?
Yeah,
The scaredy cat who runs off. Right. In my mind, that is Sam Rockwell. Again, I know he's too young.
We must part ways.
I'm looking at Benny, and I'm like, and I look him up, and like, his name is Kevin J. O'Connor. He's about 20 years older than Sam Rockwell.
Yeah,
but right. For some reason, his performance is just like channeling that dude.
Yeah, I think so. I think I can see it, because they're very his weaselly
enjoyable though.
Yeah. Oh, he's awesome. He's one of my favorite things about the movie. He is
great. He's the guy who does the thing you played earlier. The I have a horse.
You're on the wrong side.
I mean, he really straddles this great balance of inept and stupid and wimpy and scared,
conniving.
And then also just got some pure evil in him and willing to sell it all for himself or whatever. And I think it's actually kind of a hard role, and he kills it. It's really good.
The way you can tell him apart from Sam Rockwell, by the way, is that Sam Rockwell only plays racists now. That's his only. True. That basically is the big resume.
Yeah.
And I just want to draw a distinction on that trope, by the way, because that's the trope of there's all these different categories of bad guys, and you're aware of it. The trope where everyone is a bad guy is usually held for you, so you're supposed to be surprised when Rachel Weisz turns on Brendan Fraser or something. That's not in this movie.
No.
This movie just has supernatural bad guys. It has sort of frenemies bad guys, and then it has bad guys factions that come along here and there, and it's just like that's a lot of bad guys this movie has, and Brendan Fraser's gonna shoot at them all.
Now the bad guy factions though are purely there, they might as well be wearing red shirts, because the bad guy factions are purely there to show what each of the bad things that could happen to you is going to be. So they tumble on the ground and get swallowed up by a wave of flesh-eating scarabs that pop and bounce and stuff like that, just to show you,
there's danger. That's what you're supposed to do with your characters. If you know your primary characters can't suffer any damage along the way, then you show what could happen.
And they do it in pretty glorious style. Like there's for a movie that's PG-13, they really skirt it. Like they do some pretty gross stuff. There's specifically a scene, which I of course made a gif out of, where a scarab comes out of the not quite formed neck of Arnold Vosloo and then climbs up his face and goes through a hole in his cheek and then he eats it. It's freaking gross. Yeah.
Not gonna lie. That's the thing that gets me in movies. If you want to freak me out, have something crawling on somebody's skin. They did it in The Matrix right about this time too with the belly button worm.
Yep. Yeah. You know what that is? You know what? I'll just go ahead and say that's probably
body horror is what it is.
Yeah, it's body horror, but it's also all I can think about, especially when it was happening to that British actor who. I can't think of his name. He's British, but he's always plays Arab roles, and he's the fat guy that got killed early. Anyway, I love that guy. I can't think of his name all of a sudden, but I think he's an international treasure. Anyway, he got it first, right? The thing under the skin. And all I could think of is every inch that thing moves, is causing permanent tissue and nerve damage.
Yeah,
right. Separating the skin from the, from the muscle. And
jeez, just this idea.
Like before it even gets to the brain, I'm just thinking your arm's never going to be the same, dude.
So I just want to, give you the bio for that actor. His name is Omid Jalili.
That's his name.
And
I love him.
On IMDb, it says Omid Jalili is a British Iranian stand-up comedian and actor. I just like that's a mouthful right there.
It is.
But every bit of it comes through in this movie.
It's all true.
He actually might be, now that I'm looking at him, might be my favorite IMDb photo of the week because of specifically because of the cat photo behind him that he's clearly trying to emulate.
Yeah. Now he's a funny, genuinely funny guy, and everything I've ever seen him in, I laugh at that guy. He's funny to me. He has a crazy phonetic kind of energy going. I wish he would have lasted longer in this movie.
Right.
He was fodder a little bit. I think it was his first film, actually.
If you're like me and you've seen Gladiator 50 times, you'll recognize him
as
the
guy
who sells Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He does the Fringe Festival at Edinburgh every year, or at least he won in 1994. Good. That's crazy. Wow. I did not know this guy had such a comedy background to him.
Yeah. And he just turned out to be, if you need a weaselly Arab dude,
I can play Turkish, I can play British, I can play Iraqi, I can play Iranian, I can play
speaking of actors we've seen recently, well, Eric Avari is back. We saw him on Stargate just recently. He's always in the desert, always, you know, kind of being the parental unit.
I think we watched Stargate and this movie a little too close together.
I was like, man, I feel like I just saw this. What was it? It took me a while to figure out it was Stargate that I was channeling.
It's almost the same. Let's see. This would have been 5 years later, but that guy just doesn't change. He's the same guy and everything. And in this one, he's very British.
He's at the beginning of Fifth Element, too, right? Like, he's the guy.
Oh, and that's coming up, too. Yeah.
Oh, right.
I think he is.
He's in the first part. Yeah.
What a run. What a run.
Like, basically, all you have to do is just keep the beard, shave the mustache, and he's Egyptian all of a sudden.
Yeah. That guy's very, very versatile. Still working, still doing stuff. He's great, that guy.
Although I might be wrong. I'm scrolling through.
I'm not seeing.
Are we thinking of somebody else?
We're
thinking of somebody else.
He was in the Fifth Element.
It feels right.
Oh, by the way, we got a correct. Can I? Do I have it at the end of the show? Hold on. I can't remember if I did this.
No. Go. Do it now.
Somebody corrected us hardcore.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I didn't include it in the email.
They corrected us so hard they drew blood.
Wow. We'll just throw it out real quick. So in our watching of the Dark Crystal, we kept saying and assuming and saying over and over again that Frank Oz was the voice of the chairman, or not the chair, what's he called, the Chamberlain, the guy Chamberlain. Going it's not him, he did the body work or the puppet work, but the voice is some other dude who's forgot his name, but a totally different human being did the voice, and it always sounded so Yoda-like that I think I always just saw the credits and went, oh, there's Chamberlain and there's Frank
Maybe
Oz.
Maybe Frank Oz had his hand up the voice actor's butt too.
He was operating both of them.
Yeah. At the same time. That's how they used to do it. They don't do that anymore. So the scene is a little inappropriate now, so they don't do that.
100% accurate.
Yeah. Right, but anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there because that whole movie or that whole episode, we were just like, Frank Oz, the Chamberlain. The Chamberlain is Frank Oz, and he's not.
But we're not. We're not disputing that he voiced Yoda, right?
Oh, no.
Right,
no.
Of course not.
Not at all.
He voiced Grover, right?
Grover and Miss Piggy and a million other characters.
Because we were keying on the exact same sounds that are used in those characters.
Right. I think it's a fair assumption. And also, like I say, a cursory glance at the cast of the film, it says Frank Oz as the Chamberlain. You just have to read on to find out that was just the puppetry and not the voice.
But mad respect to the person who sent that in, because obviously a huge.
I have no problem with corrections. Like, we're gonna get stuff wrong all the time.
We'll 100% admit when we're wrong.
Yeah. It's not
but
a problem.
When we're right, boy, will we never let
you. Oh, that's right.
So I know. Okay, so back to this movie. I know that Brendan Fraser's having a bit of a resurgence on that DC show that everyone loves.
Yeah. And by the way, if you ever visit Reddit, there's kind of a site that usually hosts most of the images called Imgur.
Yeah.
And they have, they're constantly bringing Brendan Fraser up. It is like, it's like a meme over there. That he's just like, what's he doing now?
Yeah.
There's a subreddit that started years ago called Save Brendan when some people decided that he wasn't like, he wasn't having a career anymore. And he needed to be promoted by the people.
The people. Yeah. That's how it's going to happen. It's going to be us.
And I say Brendan has 37,000 subscribers right now, which doesn't sound like a lot, but you got to realize, man, their only purpose is to kind of make fun of him by pretending they love him.
Is that what's going on?
Amazing.
I don't know if it's genuine or not. It's hard to say. I never trust Reddit one way or
the other. Well, there's a genuine love from this guy right here.
Same. So that's what I wanted to get to here. So I was super bummed when suddenly he fell off the planet and it wasn't doing anything anymore. And I thought, well, maybe he just got tired of the rat race and, you know, retired or whatever. And then recently-ish, he did some interview and opened up about how he had his own little kind of Me Too movement thing, or not movement, moment, that that made him quit. He got out because somebody grabbed his wiener or something like that. That's way understated.
Oh, it was the like he wasn't getting accused of something.
No, somebody
was getting taken.
Somebody was taking advantage of him. Yeah, somebody was Terry Crewsing him, and he ended up saying, "Well, F this. This is not worth it." And it was like a harder time to do that stuff. So, you know, now it's easier to sort of come out and talk about that stuff. But anyway, it really bummed me out because I always like watching him. I never not think I am always a Brendan Fraser fan. I know that some people are like, "Oh, this freaking Encino man. It's all he'll ever be." I don't think so. I think there are plenty of movies and examples where he is. There's that college one I really like where he's, you know, does good acting, some good drama. This is a very fun, adventurous thing where I'm totally behind the idea that he's kind of this fearless, two-gun shooting, you know, Indiana Jones, Alan Quartermain guy.
You have or have not seen Doom Patrol yet?
Not yet, but I keep hearing it's great, and I want to see it. I keep hearing good
things. There's a listener that's hooked us up with copies of it and we watched it yet.
That's great.
By the way, fully legal, of course. Those are all legal.
Totally legal, yes. They've actually purchased for us a DC streaming account and have been...
Yes. Everything Brian's saying is also true.
All that, yes.
That's all good.
Enough information. Paint yourself gold and shut up.
But all I'm saying is, like, some may say, well, now he's past, you know, whatever we define as somebody's prime. How good can it be? And I think he's got more in him. I'm excited to see him back. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what he can do.
Article on GQ, by the way, about back in 2018. Read through. That's a great.
All the way back in 2018.
Yeah, 2018. February, March, something like that.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I understand the Brendan Fraser worship. I get it. It's fun. But his space in my brain is kind of mostly taken up by Nathan Fillion.
Oh.
They are kind of cut from the same cloth, really, when you think about it. Like,
yeah, that's fair. I think that's actually pretty fair.
I mean, either one of them could play
the Ricky
Charted.
They could totally be. What's that called? What's his name in Uncharted? What's wrong with him? Nathan Drake.
I was trying to think, is it Nathan? But that doesn't sound right because it's Nathan Fillion.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Which is why everybody was pushing for Fillion, because A, he looks like him. B, he acts like him. And C, his name is Nathan.
He's already got the first name.
he's really fun though. Like. That's the thing. Between the two of them, I'll take Nathan Fillion because he just has this wit that just overrides everything, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna ask me to cast that Nathan Drake movie, I'm picking Nathan Fillion probably.
Brendan Fraser has a gentleness that only a Canadian can have, right?
Oh, so is he Canadian? I didn't know that.
He's American-Canadian, right? Canadian-American, however you want to say it.
Sure.
But I think he has such a gentleness to him that I love... Just by anything he does.
You know what?
Now,
that's true.
To this, he was born in Indianapolis, but to Canadian parents.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
So he probably got dual.
Well, that's what that's all a boot.
Yeah, that's all a boot that. But here's the thing that let's stick on that for a second, because I do think there's a quality of Brendan Fraser that I also appreciate. There's something about his performances, and that's all I know him from. I don't know the guy, but he comes off as strong and reliable and tough and all those things. But he's not so, you know, he's not the Stallone version of a man. He's not Right. And he's got, there's a kindness in his eyes. There's a, I don't know what it is, but there's something about that I've always really liked about him. And it's in this movie as well. Like there's a, there's a gentleness to this guy who could also pull out two pistols and give you hell.
Right.
And it's fun to watch. And I, and again, bummed that he's not.
Feels like somebody that you'd, you know, go out and have a beer with and stuff and.
Yeah.
And talk dirty stuff. You
can totally hang around with. Sure.
Only 3 years difference, by the way, between in age between Nathan Fillion and Brendan Fraser. I was trying to figure out if there was a way to have one of them be the dad and one of them be the son, but they're just too close in age. So they'd have to be the Uncharted brothers would be the way that
Oh, the Uncharted. Well, that actually is a thing because in the fourth Uncharted movie, it's all about Nathan and his brother. So why not?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That whole game is those two adventuring together. So that would work.
I never played the fourth one.
Oh, four is really good, dude.
Is it?
Yeah.
What did y'all think about Rachel Weisz's character in this?
With, I loved her in it.
Kind of being the librarian kind of thing, but also kind of a goof.
I think she's incredibly versatile. She's shown herself over her career to be one of my favorite female leads. I just love her. So I cannot say a bad thing about her in this. She's goofy and fun and ridiculous, which is nice to have on your resume because a lot of her other stuff is super self-serious and. You know, the only other thing I can think of from this era that I saw was that Joseph Fiennes movie. It was a war movie.
And
do you remember that?
The English Patient? Are you talking about that one?
No, no. It was like the,
She wasn't Constantine that we've seen.
Oh, yeah, she wasn't Constantine. Yeah. She was in a few genre movies early
looking
on.
Looking at Enemy at the Gates.
That might be it.
Oh, that's it.
That might be it. Anyway, it's when a weird. It's
with
a
what's his face?
Joseph Fiennes.
Yeah, there you go. Jude Law, Joe Fine.
That's the one. That's a weird movie, by the way. It's not your normal military movie. Yes, I think it is good, but and I say but for a reason. There's this scene I will never forget, where they're in a big crowded space with I don't know another 100 people in some sort of like bunkery, let's stay out of the shelling sort of World War One space, and in the nighttime. Joseph Fiennes and Rachel Weisz decide to get it on. And that's fine, whatever. Do what you got to do. But there's hundreds of people sleeping around them. And it makes me, it's one of the most uncomfortable scenes because I'm thinking, dude, just one false move and the whole place erupts. And anyway, her, you, I guess, have the privilege or the, I don't know what you call it, but you get a lot of Rachel Weisz bum. A lot of bum.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I just stuck in my memory.
You get quite a bit in The Favorite last year, the movie that should have won the Oscar.
Yeah. what's sickening about her is that she's our age, Brian Ibbett.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
So
and she looks amazing. Oh my gosh. She's beautiful.
Last year, she and her human equivalent husband, like they're like the most beautiful couple in existence, or like they're like the most beautiful 40 somethings that ever lived.
Oh yeah.
Last year, she and Daniel Craig had a baby, and I'm just predicting that 20 years from now, it's going to be hard to not look at this person. I don't even know if it's a boy or a girl. That's going to be really like that is going to be the most beautiful living human,
or
the ugliest,
or the ugliest. Yeah, you go. That's how
right.
That's
right.
How it works.
Two rights make a wrong kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah, sometimes you get perfect couple, and the baby comes out like a potato. It's just like the worst thing.
Would we think that Daniel Craig is as attractive as he is if he wasn't James Bond? I mean, you look at him. You look at him outside of that, and he's kind of.
He's dopey.
He's kind of dopey looking. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
But he could beat the crap out of you, and I think that's what makes us fearfully call him.
He's just happening.
Listen. I'm with Ibbett here, and this is maybe controversial, and it sounds like it might be to Randy, but he is a goofy looking dude. But when you put him in the suit, and he's quick with the gun, and he's shaken not stirred, and it's all the James Bond motif, suddenly it changes. It changes him.
His sexiness is in his body language is where it's at.
You can be sexy. It's just a smoldering.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
In the right roles, he smolders.
We've all seen, right, the shot of him emerging from the sea in the baby blue shorts.
Oh, yeah,
I look at it like every day.
It's a poster on my wall.
I think that's the point.
We all realize he's 40 freaking years old in that shot, right?
Yeah, like, no. He is, look. He's a beast. You're not kidding. You're not wrong. He's buffed out. It's incredible. He walks out of that water and my wife and my daughters all swoon like idiots. Like, I get it, what you're saying. I'm just saying, take that away. Because it goes to what Dunaway says about body language. Take that away and what do you got? You got the goofiest face in Hollywood. He's got a goofy face.
Take that away. No.
He does have a goofy face.
There are people with objectively ugly faces like Adam Driver.
Hey, let's not name names.
I'm putting a photo in our thing here right now of how he kind of looks like Alfred E. Newman from the back of Mad Magazine.
And you don't know if Kylo Ren won't grow into his looks.
I don't know what's happening right now. I'm hoping we get an email correction letting you guys know that Daniel Craig is objectively gorgeous.
No argument for me about his Bondness. Like it changed that for me, and I love it. I love his entire presence is so great, and it's going to be really hard to top that.
And about to be the longest running Bond.
Is that
already
true?
Is
what?
No, they marked the longest running Bond. Yeah,
that's weird.
Well, just in years though. I mean, he's only done four movies.
Three, four,
five,
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 five, three, four,
it
five.
Feels like less.
Is that including it's still less than Connery or more dead
how
as far
long?
As number
correct.
Of
correct. Yes.
Okay. How
so
many?
It's just in years. Okay. So.
Bond movies did.
You act like you're totally offended. Oh, it's just in years. That doesn't count.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
You're out of here.
No, I mean, I'm with Debit on this. I just thought it was way shorter, but I guess not.
He's with the next one, because why not count it? It's coming out next year. Mm-hmm. He will have been in the role for 15 years.
Wow, has it been that long?
That's
crazy. It just goes to show you how back in the 70s and late 60s, they cranked out Bond movies.
Oh, yeah.
Biannually, or wasn't it every other year?
Yeah, it was a lot.
Because
yeah.
like action movies didn't used to wait around on digital processing. Like
yeah,
you didn't
right.
have all of these studios full of nerds at computers processing every frame, you know? Like back in the day, they would just get some shots. We'll just use the best car crash we got on film and off you go, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, Roger Moore did 7 films.
Connery
total.
Did 8, right?
Yeah, Connery did 8, but they did him in a shorter span.
Yeah, and you can't count Never Say Never Again because that's canon.
When he came back, right?
That was like a dream. Yes. That was weird.
It was a remake of Thunderball, and it was outside. It was Cubby Broccoli had nothing to do with it.
But right. I still loved it.
It was outside of the broccoli.
It's all out of the broccoli, exactly. But no,
I want to grab the steering wheel because we were talking about an amazing actor and we somehow got off on her husband, which is just so wrong.
Yeah, there's something about that feels like a mistake. Yeah.
This is peak Rachel Weisz. She has to do all of the different things. She has to be, she has to be charming. She has to be funny, all of that stuff. And she does it great in every scene. There's an extended period of time where she's acting in like a nightgown and like just like she can't have been comfortable, and it was just amazing.
Well, especially after the water, because apparently that nightgown like clung to her like transparent rice paper.
Like she was wrapped in saran wrap,
so they had to do digital painting stuff during post-production to keep its PG-13 rating.
All right. Another day, another dollar. Oh, what are you doing at work today?
But they had no trouble with
over digitally paint over frame by frame of Rachel Weisz's boobs.
Yeah,
they had no trouble having Patricia Velasquez. How do you say that last name, Randy?
Velasquez.
Velasquez. Yeah, squeeze. Velasquez. Yeah, they had no trouble with her booty.
Well,
hanging out there.
She's a lovely woman, first of all. Second of all, I think it goes well with their version of ancient Egypt is great because it's all of the myth, and I love the myth.
Their version, the only thing that bothered about their version is seeing white guys in gold paint. I'm like, why do they need to have white guys in gold paint?
I like the gold paint because it felt like, hey, you're not just a slave. You're going to be one of these really great slaves that we paint.
Yeah, they didn't look Egyptian or anything. Were they supposed to
be gold slaves?
Yeah, you're gold slave. A gold level slave is a big deal. There's only platinum.
But were
after
they
that.
Slaves? I thought they were priests. I didn't know if they were slaves.
They were his
or not.
Priests, I guess. I forget. Well, wait. So the guys that came charging in with sickles and stuff to kill everybody, I don't know what they were. Were they
that
just
was the body? That were the bodyguards of the pharaoh,
right?
And they're the
right,
ones,
right,
and they had the lineage that goes throughout the whole.
So it's weird. The Pharaoh had his crew, and the high priest had his crew, and those people weren't on the same side ultimately, which, like, you just have to accept mm-hmm. that. But I'm sorry, that just wouldn't work in reality. You wouldn't be able to have these two high powered people with their own little armies living in the same pyramid, you know?
Right. Yeah, but that's what I mistress. Like. I like it because it's this big cartoon of what Egypt was, and I've always really liked that. Just, you know, you're panning shots, that freaking, you know, Giza stuff is right next to the obelisk, right next to the big nose, whatever it's called. What's that thing called?
The Sphinx,
and then you got the three pyramids are conveniently right behind that. Like, it's the myth of the place that I enjoy a lot, and I like that they embrace it. I have no problem with it. Like, Indiana Jones embraces it too when they get stuck in a snake pit tomb and, you know, fight their way through a bunch of corpses, and that stuff's just awesome, and I love it, and I could spend all day there because it's my favorite setting. Right.
It's interesting to think about what that will be from now, 3,000 years from now.
Yeah.
So, like, right now, we still have this never-ending, seems never-ending issue where we have not handled the cultural destruction of certain, you know, aboriginals, especially in, like, North America for us. But, like, it's interesting to think 3,000 years from now, there might be all sorts of entertaining mythos around Native Americans having, you know, all kinds of magic and special powers and stuff. Again, sounds really bad to don't do that right now, but like that's what we're seeing in The Mummy. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a completely fantastic take on what was probably a really boring region to live in 3,000 years ago, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably. I mean,
I don't know.
We've romanticized it pretty hard. So
we have, but I mean, some of those romanticisms are based on cool iconography and cool symbols and papyrus and creating languages and all that stuff. It's hard not to.
Oh yeah, no, it's impossible.
That there's a big foundation that romanticism is based on.
Absolutely, it's 100% true. Because why? I mean, it's so good that we've romanticized it to the hilt, like. Because we see it, we go, oh my gosh, have you seen those hydroglyphics?
Hieroglyphics.
You know, made of water.
Hydroglyphics.
But you see those and you see walls of it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And then you see a Ra statue and like, holy shit, like it's impossible.
And Ankh and all these cool things around. It's like, there's got to be, I mean, I know that, we have romanticized it and Indiana Jonesified it and all that stuff, but it feels like, despite the fact that was probably, you know, hundreds of years of action span of time,
right?
It seems like any 50 to 60 years of that would have been fun to live in.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh man, I don't know. I just say, like, again, 3,000 years from now, there's going to be entertainment about that, you know, about this weird shit that goes down in the American South, and I'm telling you right now, it's just people living in trailers out in the dust, you know, like it's not that magical,
right?
But you know, like we're gonna assign it, or our descendants
are people gonna say they had this festival out in the desert called Burning Man, and we're gonna write movies about how cool Burning Man was.
I mean, they could, it's in theory, and they could mythologize it and all that stuff.
I look forward to our modern mythos turning into fact for the future. I can't wait to see that
it happens. Like, well, maybe not fact, but you know, like, who knows? Nobody in ancient Egypt thought that they were one day gonna be this iconic era that would be poked at forever, and so much creativity would come around
analyzed.
It. I don't think they knew. So we don't know either. And I don't know what part of our stuff will be. I mean, that's a really great question.
It'll be podcast. Everybody knows.
I mean, I feel like at some point, like if you just suddenly nuked everybody right now and wiped us out and all that was left is some.
What you're talking about is Reign of Fire, which we need to watch.
That's a good movie.
I agree. Is that, believe me, it's the first thing on my list every time I search for movies that we haven't gotten to
see. I love Reign of Fire. No problem.
Scott's describing exactly what happens in Reign of Fire.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey and
Woody Harrelson's in it. And no, they not Matthew McConaughey. Wait a minute. Reign of Fire.
They even reenact Star Wars around the fireside.
Hold on a second.
As a verbal...
storytelling.
Christian Bale. Yeah, there it is.
Christian Bale, and it's Woody.
Matthew McConaughey,
it's not
Christian Bale.
Wait, McConaughey's in it?
Yeah, there's no. I don't see any.
I was sure that
Woody
that character. I was sure his character.
Are you
was
thinking
Woody.
Of True Detective season
no,
one?
No,
Scott?
No, no. No, in my
are
head
you
for
Reign of Fire.
For real, in my head, Woody is playing that same role. It's a weird role. It's okay, like he's bald and he's way overacting and strange. That's an awesome movie. Reign of Fire is great, dude. It's stupid,
but
great. Oh, man.
It is terrible.
We'll eventually watch it. There's some weird thing where the company that ended up with the streaming rights just refuses to sell it. And I don't know why, because it would go fine.
Aren't they trying to do like a reboot of the series? Isn't there like some crappy second versions of that?
There's always something
else.
Might be.
I don't know.
There's always something being worked on. I bet there's a script for it and just nobody's willing to touch it yet or something.
I'm not touching that. No way, man.
By the way, do you guys know that Brendan Fraser almost died in this movie? This is true.
Yeah, according to Rachel Weisz. Yeah.
Yeah. She says that Fraser stopped breathing and had to be resuscitated during the scene where he was nearly hanged. Even though they had a harness on him and you could see the harness.
Right.
Apparently,
he was emoting being choked, though, right? So I guess maybe he was holding his breath, basically.
Like they were saying, oh, hey, you know, he's just acting. He's really good, man.
Oh,
he's really
look at that.
This, leading into this role.
Can we all agree, though, that that's the worst thing in the movie? Like that scene takes me off the film so hard.
Does it? I don't know. It didn't bother me.
For starters, they drop him way farther than they needed to make the point that his neck didn't break.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, it's way too far. It wouldn't have just broken your neck. It would have snapped your head off no matter who you are, that drop. But then also, the tension there, once he goes down and she's still negotiating for him, the tension's gone because you know he's going to survive. There's there's no way he's going to die, but he's dead. Like, you just saw him die. It was just, I'm just mad. This could have been so much more tense if the whole thing had been resolved right before they drop him through the floor. You know what I'm saying?
I get you. Yeah. No, I mean, I think they played it mostly for laughs. And that works on that level for me, because it was kind of funny to see him struggling and her negotiating with
name. And not quickly.
And less funny right now, knowing that he's like on the brink of death in that scene.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who knows how it worked outside of editing? I don't know. But they... Yeah. That must have been a little scary for everybody. the library disaster, which, by the way, one of my phobias in life is that thing, and it happens in lots of movies. What? It's probably its own trope, but the idea of being in a store, it doesn't even have to be a library, but anywhere where a bunch of shelves have neatly organized everything in them, and I bump into one and it starts a domino effect, is one of my phobias.
Okay, if it happens in a row, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But I mean, they had it going around the corner in circles. I'm like, oh, come on.
Well, okay, maybe from a movie magic standpoint.
Have you not set up dominoes in kind of an arc shape and had them do that? I have.
Oh, absolutely. But why would you set your shelves up like that? Like dominoes. You're asking for it.
We all agree that that was an actual special effect where they actually did it, right?
No, it says in the trivia they did a single.
It's a practical effect, yeah.
And they said it was a single shoot. They didn't do a reshoot. In one take.
Can you imagine the cleanup?
Yeah, because it would have taken a whole nother day to reshoot it if they just screwed it up.
For me, it was the prestige stunt of the film. Like, it was so awesome. I couldn't even really figure out whether they had Rachel Weisz sort of there. Like, they obviously they pulled her out of the way, but the way the shot comes back around to her, I was just like, whoa, was she really standing there during thousands of pounds of danger going on all around her? That's crazy.
And all it makes me, it's the kind of thing where I would just...
Watch out for the book shrapnel, Rachel.
It was like, here's what it helped me understand. When I was in China in 2001 or whatever it was, they had a... Was it two? Doesn't matter. I was in China and they had... we were on the highway in some part of southern China, and this car... I'll never forget this. This car that was more like an old truck covered in rags, just pounds of rags, got in an accident with a brand new Lexus, and they had collided mid-road, and we had just gotten there when the accident had just occurred and everything was starting to slow down and we could see what was going on. The owner of the Lexus got out of the car and walked away. Just got out of the car, went.
Really?
Walked, he did it. He just pulled off. A falling down.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm out of here. Where's my bat?
He took off and the rag guy was nowhere to be seen either. And this movie, a falling bunch of stuff in a library is basic. What I would do is like the Lexus guy. I would have that happen and I'd go, okay, now I have one of two options. I either meticulously go back and fix all this, or we just nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
We were never here.
Yeah. And now I finally understand. Like last night, it dawned on me. I understand the guy in the Lexus finally after all these years. Because for the longest time, I was like, why would you just get up and leave? Well, the circumstances are such, at least they were then in that town in China, that it was more cost effective for him to just walk away from the mess than it was to deal with it. Because there's
not legally, but sure, more cost.
Yeah. But they don't have good laws. Like the traffic laws don't exist there. There's no, like there, it was a, I got a bunch of this from the locals. They were trying to explain to me why somebody would do that. And it's finally made sense to me. It's just too big a mess to deal with.
Yeah.
And so go away. Just
I'm going home.
So if I did the library disaster, I'd walk away. I couldn't do it.
Just this library no longer exists.
Right. Exactly. And I know she probably, you know, you just have freaking Stargate guy do it, I guess. But I was just like, that. Those get that easily the most uncomfortable moment in the movie for me is that library scene.
And for me, it raises these things that I've experienced in my life, and I'm sure we all have, where you were responsible for something, and then something bad happened and you didn't even know it. I don't know. I borrowed my brother-in-law's truck one time and there ended up being a dent on the roof.
Whoa.
Ooh. And I have no freaking clue. I have never figured out how there got to be a dent there. And it was a weird dent. It looked like somebody like took a bat and climbed up into the back of the truck and then hit the top with a bat. Like it's just like the strangest thing. Wow. Like it would have taken like if it
something
it was
you would have recognized, something right, you would have noticed happening. Yeah. Yeah.
And of course he saw it after I returned the truck and didn't see it. And I've just been mortified that I didn't. Now, like last week I was getting a haircut. I have short hair now. And last week I was getting a haircut.
Whoa.
Wait.
Let's not bury the lead here. Burying the lead, Randy.
And the person cutting my hair is a really nice lady in Canada, amazing hairstylist. She stands behind me for the first time and runs her fingers through my hair and she goes, "Oh, what happened here?" And I'm like,
"What?
You tell me." Mm. And she goes, "Oh, well, there's just a spot where you cut a chunk real short." And I'm like, "No." And she goes, "Okay, well, maybe you had some like, gum in your hair. Do you remember that?" No. I cannot imagine how I had a lock of hair that was cut really, really short. I don't, maybe something's happened to me in the middle of the night. I don't know.
Right.
But it's that kind of thing just wears on me. I can't stop wondering how did that happen.
I know this feeling.
SJ does a little bit of sleep trimming.
Yeah. Or a little Will got a hold of somebody's shears. Who knows?
Right.
But I had, this is funny because Ibbot knows this. I had those weird scratches across my belly. I couldn't explain.
Yeah, right.
And I still don't know.
That was the alien abduction.
Still not. Yeah. Well, then that probe in my butt was the other proof that happened.
Yeah. But, right.
By the way, when you said there's something with the roof, what'd you say? There was something with the roof.
There's a dent in the roof.
There is a hole in the roof.
That's an old school one, man. Look at that.
Yeah.
Glad we got a chance to pull that up. Hey, did you know DiCaprio is supposed to get this role? It's true. He was offered the role of Rick O'Connell. It's believed DiCaprio was said to have loved the script and wanted to be in the film. However, he had already agreed to star in The Beach. Not a great movie. It's also been said that DiCaprio asked if The Beach could be delayed so he could film The Mummy. The producers refused. However, filming The Beach was delayed anyway and probably could have done it. But,
You jackasses!
Yeah. This trivia says it's also said to be believed. Like, it's the least amount of, like...
That is the key phrase to look for in those IMDb posts is, it is said or it has been said. Like, okay, well then...
Many people say... Yeah, many people say, or lots of people
many people
said,
tell me...
Yeah.
It would have been a different tone, though. That is for sure. Yeah. With DiCaprio, like in '99. Oh, that'd be totally different.
Well, he was what? When was Gilbert's Grape?
Somebody that's what ate, I'm thinking. That's yeah. It wasn't too.
Somebody ate Gilbert's Grape. That was the name of that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes.
Gilbert Grape. Hold on. I'll never forget that movie because you know how you know.
It's a great name.
Just what they said in Tropic Thunder. You're never supposed to go full R word.
Right.
And he did that movie. Oh, that was 93, so it was a while back.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's
so what was he doing at that time then? Oh, the beach, never mind.
Yeah, he was doing the beach.
Doing the beach.
But right. This would have been a time for him where, you know, he was 4 years off of Titanic. So things were going good, but he was taking
and about 10 years off from the TV series. What was it?
He was on a TV show.
Growing Pains?
Growing Pains, that's it.
Yeah.
Shut up. He was on Growing Pains? No way.
They brought him in
as the Cousin Oliver, basically, in the last season.
Oh. Oh, and then in 95, you got that Basketball Diaries deal. Boy, he was a weird-looking kid back then. DiCaprio. Just a weird-looking dude. Oh, Romeo and Juliet, 96. He had a lot of work going on. He was busy. All right.
I think The Beach was filmed in Hawaii, and I think this movie was filmed in Morocco, and I know which one I'd choose.
Yeah, I think it's a fair thing to do. Hey, he's in that new Tarantino business. That'll be good. I'm excited about that. Anyway,
kind of over Tarantino now.
Oh well, that might be good because this is probably going to be his last movie forever.
I'm gonna say I'm waiting for him to to do something different.
I'm waiting for him to be bad, and until he's bad, I still like him. Like I haven't seen a bad Tarantino movie that I can think of. Hold on a minute, I'm probably forgetting something.
You know who else I'm over who seems to only have one note? And it's a great note, but I'm done with it. Richard Linklater. I don't need another Linklater film.
Maybe you need a Link Sooner film. That was a good one. Hey, this is the this is the first theatrical film to be broadcast on the WB television network.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, this was their big launch.
I bet they ran this thing 24/7.
Yeah,
it's probably how I remember seeing it.
Maybe that's why Netflix has never gotten it. Maybe they felt like it got overplayed.
Right. Maybe. I don't remember that much, but I just think this is probably my fifth viewing of this. Most of it was on DVD. Right. And then I saw it in theaters when it came out. But apparently, yeah, the WB, that was their big launch full feature film deal that they got to show, which feels right. You know, young people doing young people things over there. Mm-hmm. Seems about right. Arnold Vosloo and Oded Ferrer. These are the two guys I think look alike. This is the fun thing about those two. They have both played Mossad officers in the TV crime series NCIS and were also warlocks, both of them, on Charmed.
And in real life.
And in real life.
Real life warlocks.
And
boy, do you think Arnold Vosloo's like buff nature and his, I'm saying it again, Egyptian pit bull status comes from the name that he grew up with, the name Arnold?
Maybe, right. Yeah. He was like overcompensating
mechanism, yeah.
And by the way, you weren't confusing him for Oded Ferrer. Oded Ferrer is the drop dead gorgeous young man who is the leader of the defenders of the town. I'm not going to try to pronounce.
Yeah, no, that's him.
You're talking about Vosloo and Eric Avari.
Oh no,
surely
no. It's Oded Ferrer who I think looks like him. They look a lot alike. It just. Like, when I see Oded on some show, I watched him recently on something Kim watched. She binged through this thing that's not on anymore, and I don't remember the name of it. Inside Connector. I don't know what it was, but it was some regular crime deal. And he was a Mossad agent that came and was helping the CIA do something. And as soon as he came on screen, I went, is that Arnold Vosloo? What's he doing in this? Oh, no, it's the other guy. I just get them confused.
Oded Ferrer is the most attractive human being in this film. It's kind of hard to believe. He's like, he does kind of have a little bit too much makeup on in every shot of his face, but it's just like, wow.
He's a beautiful person.
Talking about the tattoos and stuff under his eyes.
Yeah. <It's> makeup, yeah, maybe. It is makeup.
Right?
Yeah.
It is, but you're not referring to that as too much makeup.
Maybe.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying his like... He's like this. He's just an absolutely gorgeous man.
He's and a of beautiful course, man.
He does not go on to be on the TV show Lost. That's a different actor.
Yeah, different dude. That guy is
the guy who played Saeed.
Not Saeed. I was thinking of Beanfork. Sometimes reminds me of these two guys too, and it's not exactly match, but Beanfork looks like this guy.
I'm going to go learn more about Saeed. This is the second time in the last couple of weeks we've said he looked like another actor. That man needs his own identity in my mind.
Well, Saeed, I don't think he looks like Saeed at all, so I'm with you there, Dunaway. He's actually Indian descent, not Iraqi.
Naveen Andrews is that guy.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, he's cool. What's he doing now?
What else is he doing?
You know he's got talent.
God, he was in everything for a while in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, nothing now.
He was in Sense 8. He did a voice in Far Cry 4.
Oh.
He was in
Sense 8 was just people doing it mostly, by the way.
Yeah, it was people doing it.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of doing it. That movie, that show could have been really cool, except they only spent 5 minutes on the story.
He was in Planet Terror.
He was in the Planet Terror, yeah.
Oh, in Grindhouse. Ooh.
Oh, that's cool. But that would have been pre-Lost, right?
I just
2007.
Oh.
Yeah, that was post-Lost. Okay.
All right.
I just wanted
During Lost.
During Lost.
Sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead, Randy.
I want to agree with you that Sense8 is kind of porny, but it is also very realistic in that regard. Like, it is like someone honestly asked the question, what would happen if a bunch of people got, like, supernaturally mentally connected? That is what they would do. That is all they would
do. I guess they would. Sure. But what I want in my TV dramas is some story, and what we got was, like, 5 minutes of story, and then doing it every episode, and it bummed me out because the premise was cool and I would have liked to.
Speaking of doing it, isn't this weekend Game of Thrones?
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
premiere, yes.
I have a prediction about that. They have not been very sexual for years now, but the first three seasons everyone's wieners out constantly. So I think that this season is going to be either they're going to bring some of that back, or they're just going to ignore it completely and focus entirely on resolution of everything. I don't think there's going to be any naked people this year.
There's no time for sex.
Yeah, because last season, nothing. No nakedy, nothing. Hardly, I don't think.
Just terrible tension between Snow and Daenerys.
Well, and they ended up doing it at the end, right?
So, yeah, with Tyrion right outside listening,
yeah,
like a creep.
That worked out well. Nothing you want more than your...
I'm so sad. I'm turning to stone now.
I've been revisiting my favorite episodes leading up to this, and it's hard to think of a time when more people were more aligned on this shared experience where we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard. I don't even know what to compare it to. Yeah. It is global.
Yes.
What is about to happen.
And we don't even have a fifth... sixth book to roughly have it based on.
Yeah,
we don't. It's all done. It's all new. We don't know.
It definitely doesn't compare to The Mummy. I mean,
well, what does really?
Right.
Did you know my final bit of trivia here? George Romero was originally making this film, and it was supposed to be all serious and very George Romero, Night of the Living Dead.
I would watch that though. That would be who better?
They yanked it out of his hands. They walked up to him and he was standing there in his 90-inch glasses, and they said, "Listen, George, not you, buddy." And they swiped it.
Too much like zombies. Get out.
Gave it to Stephen Sommers, who, by the way, has never quite lived up to this, in my opinion. Stephen Sommers makes some fun action movies, but his G.I. Joe stuff and really everything else, none of it has stood up to this, I don't think. This may have been a high point.
Because they all lack Brendan Fraser.
Well, his sequel to this is not great. Like, we haven't even talked about that. The sequel to The Mummy, The Mummy Returns, not great.
Sequels, because, I mean, I guess they had the spinoffs, too. The Mummy, the Scorpion King stuff.
Oh, true. I forgot about that. Probably on purpose. But, like, let's see if we've seen anything else from him. Okay, so he did... I like The Jungle Book, personally. I think that movie's great. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The Mummy Returns, not good, I think.
I still had fun.
I don't like it. Van Helsing, he directed Van Helsing. We've seen that, and that was not great. Revenge of the Mummy, The Ride. Don't know what that is. Oh, it's a short film.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. The Ride is that not the Universal? It is
one of the most fun roller coaster rides that I've been on, because about three quarters of the way through the ride, or what you think is about three quarters of the way through the ride, it's a roller coaster deal. The roller coaster stops and goes backwards all the way through the entire ride.
Yeah, that sounds all right.
awesome. Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
That's cool. He also, okay, so let me just see what Mummy Returns did on the reviews. Yeah, it's just reviewed poorly compared to the first one. But anyway, the other one is Odd Thomas, which everyone tells me I might like.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a Stephen King.
Oh, is it? I don't know.
Adaptation, isn't it? Isn't Odd Thomas? Or not? No. It's the other guy.
Young adult. Yeah.
Kuntz, Dean Kuntz.
Oh, is it? Go. Okay. Anton Yelchin is on as Odd Thomas. And
yes. Yeah. It's based on a.
Still the
it's
most.
It's based on a Dean Kuntz.
Still the most tragic death in recent memory. I hate it. I hate that he died.
Oh, yeah.
He was just getting started, man. He was 27, for freak's sakes. He had so much ahead of him, so much to do. And Carter's watching Trollhunters again. And the first two seasons are him, and a whole season had been pre-recorded right before his death, so they got the full season. But hearing him talk, I'm just like, gosh dang it, that's not fair. How can you have, why can't an a-hole in Hollywood die so that he can live?
Anton Yelchin can live.
Yeah, and by all accounts, he was like the nicest dude, and he was super talented. I loved him in that Terminator we watched. He was great in that.
Well, and it's also the moment of his death it was so preventable and avoidable and it's so stupid, you know?
Ugh, I hate it. It's just senseless. I hate it. Just makes me mad. I don't usually get this way about accidental deaths and stuff, but this one just really rubs my cheese. All right. Let's see. I wrote in here. Let's see. I know what it was. If I were them, and I had just done what I'd seen happen in the side of the tombs with the cowboy people. they were barely, they're almost our chicks in the bucket, but they were around enough that we kind of saw. But if you open a stone door and copious amounts of something called salt acid flies out of it.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I would be terrified of all the doors from then forward.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't just go up to that box and go, all right, let me at it. Like, no, you just watch five people melt from something called ancient salt acid. Yeah. You dumb shits.
go open that other one. Yeah, no. You go do it yourself. I'm going to go outside. And
I mean, I don't know how insensitive this is, but it was always just like one of the, not slave dudes, but just like modern Sherpa guys.
They were the disposable. They were the red shirts, basically.
Yeah. And they're always Arab guys and stuff. Yeah. Sorry.
I did like the follow up on that. I guess it was the nerdy kind of American with the glasses. I guess supposed to be representing that, and where Imhotep was after all of his body parts.
He kept took his tongue, his eyes.
Let me take your eyes. Let me take your tongue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me take your skin.
Yeah. Right. Just going around and picking and choosing what he wants.
Yeah. And that was really a lot like the old Universal Mummy, where you would just like you were cursed. Yeah. And you couldn't get away from it. It would just follow you wherever you went.
Yep. And then getting your life force sucked out of you, like leaving you like a dry husk. Ooh. That stuff's crazy. Also, I wrote here, why are guys with torches afraid of a guy with a torch? So there was that scene where they're like zombies, I guess, or whatever. They're all under the control of Imhotep, and they all have like freaking whatever skin problem they have. And they're crowding around them, and all of them have a torch. They all have a torch. Yet they're terrified of Brendan Fraser's torch.
Yeah.
Like he's swinging it around.
Or his scream, one of the two.
Yeah, I was going to say the scream is what really this movie is all about. Your war cry has power, or it doesn't.
I guess so. But are there any chicks in the bucket that is there anyone in this where like, man, you were only there for 5 minutes, we never heard from you again?
No, this movie was really tight about only introducing characters that it wanted to use later and abuse later.
Yeah. It's been about a week, but I can't remember if Eric Avari ever showed back up. Did he show back up at the end? Okay.
Wait, Eric Avari.
Not at the end. No, his final thing is before the big third act, right? Mm-hmm. He is the guy who gives you all the explanation you need to carry on and finish the adventure.
Oh, that's right, because he gave the plague report, didn't he?
Yeah, he goes full Obi-Wan at that point and exposes that he knows all this shit. And then he uses the sword and attacks a bunch of dudes, and then doesn't he gets overwhelmed and killed, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah. I remember thinking, you're stupid, is what I thought. Because you could have gotten out of there. He was just too busy still swinging, even though there was the window of opportunity to jump down the hatch, and he didn't.
Yes.
Yeah, that was dumb. And also, Oded Ferrer's Ardeth Bay character, his, the Protector Black Rider guy. Right. Him going in and saying, run for yourselves. And he threw a grenade, the old-timey grenade, and blew up the thing. That they did a lousy job of explaining how he got out of that. Like, he shows up later on a horse and everything's fine. What the hell?
Well, but you don't see him die. You see him going down a tunnel and sort of like, you see the explosion coming from the side to kill a bunch of zombies. And it's like, you know that he's going to be okay later. Because they didn't show him die or get overwhelmed or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
It was really tropey, that death that isn't even close to death, so you know he's alive.
I kind of want his story, like that character and their people.
And the rest of the Magi and stuff. Yeah, I thought he's really cool.
Yeah.
Really interesting and protector.
Maybe the rock ones, the Scorpion King stuff, maybe that got into that group more. I don't know, but he was only ever in Returns. He does show up for the sequel, but... and he's in those Resident Evil movies. Yeah, this guy's, he's working though. Look at his IMDb.
Look what he's doing.
He's all over the place.
He feels tired just looking at it.
TV series, voice work, bunch of Batman stuff, Law and Order. Everyone's in Law and Order, so that's fine. Blacklist right now, I guess, is in the Blacklist. Young
is
Justice.
I thought that ended. No?
No, still going.
Still going?
Yeah. I don't know if they're in their... There was some news about something big on there. Maybe they're in their
final. This is their final season or something.
Could be. But they've only been on the air since 2015, so that's a 5-year run. It's about right. Anyway.
Feels like it's been on longer.
I know it does. And you know what my impression? I've never seen the show yet. I kind of want to, but I never have. My impression of that show is all I think about when I picture it is him in a chair. I just picture
James Spader in a chair. The marketing is.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Back in his chair.
In his stupid hat.
James Spader in a chair for an hour.
Let me talk to you laying back. Okay, now I'm going to lay to the side. Yeah. Talk to you some more. Now I'm going to lean forward. I'm really serious.
He just looks like that Memorex guy or whatever the commercial was.
The Maxell guy.
With
the sound overwhelming him. That's funny.
Just sitting there with a dumb hat. That's my impression of that show. Guy in a dumb hat. The Blacklist. Check it out. Fridays.
The Blacklist. Guy in a dumb hat. hey, I know what. I don't know what Gross got out the most, but I have a guess at what Freaks got out the most.
Give it.
It's all the stretchy mouth, open mouth stuff in this film.
I really don't like it. Like, it really gives me the willies in every movie. Even when it's like clearly CG and kind of not aging well and all that, still don't like it. I don't like when someone's mouth opens wider than it should. And you know what's even worse than this movie? At least this movie was like overt. It was like, brah. Yeah. But in some movies, they just do it a little to give you that uncanny kind of, ugh, what's going on there feeling. I hate
it. Where it's like, oh, are they doing it? Or does that person, can they really do that with their mouth? Oh, I don't know, but it's freaking me out.
I don't like it. And then when flies come out, you're just making it worse. Oh.
Wait till we watch Legion.
Oh yeah, right. Legion. We gotta watch Legion.
It's like 2 hours of mouth open.
See, and I think that's the point where if you do it too much, it completely lessens the effect. So it's like, oh, all right, another mouth wide open, great, all right, terrific.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some examples of what the movies that freak me out more even than this, but this is pretty good at, those are it's not cool. It's just not cool to do it. I don't like it. Quit doing it, movies.
They do have a ton of Lawnmower Man effect kind of stuff, like the big cloud, and then you see Arnold Vosloo's face in the clouds going over it, and the water that's supposed to look like water, but just kind of looks like CGI.
Yeah, we're better at all that shit now. It's not.
It's particle not fair effects. To completely rip on it for that, but.
Yeah, particle effects and all that stuff has gotten so much better. Like procedural particle effect type effects are so much better now. And back then they were just like, this looks like Nintendo, but that's as best as we got. They just didn't look great. But some of it still held up. Like there were some lighting techniques on when he was in zombie form inside the tombs that I went, oh, that's all right. That looks is good now. And the fighting with the other, when he was punching the other zombies, to get out of there, that looked all right. Some of that fighting looked good, I don't know.
Was the was there a thing that grossed you out the most?
Yeah, it was when he kisses Rachel Weisz in bed and his face gets all necro. Do you know when he leans? It's right before he gets scared with the cat.
So he comes
into her bedroom and she's sleeping and he starts mumbling about how she's his queen or whatever. And he's almost fully formed now, but he's not quite there. and he leans in and kisses her, and it's fine at first, except then his face just goes necro, and there's something about that effect that just is... Ugh.
Yeah, for me, it was when they first get their rent-a-camels, and one of the camels, a really well-trained and well-handled creature, puts his mouth right next to Brendan Fraser's mouth. Like, they are an inch apart, and I'm just thinking, man, Brendan Fraser is just... huffing camel wind, like
huffing camel wind.
And camels are not known for having deliciously fresh breath.
No. In fact, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, of all the galloping four-legged animals, I'm thinking it's
they always seem to have rough-looking mouths, don't they?
Oh yeah, dude, slobbering and going whatever sounds they make. They're horrifying. They sound like my dog, which I will demonstrate later. Speaking of which, let's do that. You guys want to hear some clippies?
Let's hear some clips. Yeah.
All right, here we go then. Let's dive right into this one. This is our, I don't know what this is. I'll just play it.
Look at this.
Oh, it was him being upset about the books
falling
out.
My domino laid out library.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
My library of dominoes.
Here's more of it. This is him complaining.
Sons of the Pharaoh. Give me frogs. Flies, locusts, anything but you.
Foreshadowing.
To you, the other plagues were a joy.
Yeah, lots of foreshadowing.
Yeah, but you know what they don't do, though, is they set her up to be kind of a klutz in that, and they really don't go further. Like, you'd think that maybe she saves the day by, like, bumping into the wrong thing or knocking over.
Well, I thought for sure, I don't know if it was a rewrite. It felt like there was a story thread there they never addressed. Her and her brother lost their parents very early on. And one of the reasons why she was a librarian was, I thought, possibly motivated so that she could get to the Book of the Dead, which she does eventually. And I thought she was going to try to bring back her parents or something. But it felt like that thread just never really appeared.
Pretty sure, by the way, the guy that plays his brother, I'm pretty sure we've all seen his ween. He was in... He was in the Spartacus TV thing that was on Starz all those years, and him and Three of Nine or whatever her name was from BSG. I can't think of anyone's name. The Australian actress, or maybe she's from New Zealand, that played Xena, Warrior Princess. What's her name?
There's so much misinformation in everything you just said.
everything you just said is wrong.
Who played Xena? Who played Xena, Warrior Princess? Why can't I think of her name? Anyway,
the main lead actress,
yeah.
Lucy Law.
Lucy Lawless. There you go.
Lucy Lawless.
So yeah. her and the
Lou Lossless.
Lou Lossless. Her and she has really good sound if she's lossless. Anyway, yes. her and the brother from this were the kind of baddies in Spartacus. And she was always showing herself off, and that's fine. But I want to say a couple of times he flopped his doodle out, and I remember thinking, oh, the mummy, dude. I remember you from the mummy.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, here's something. I don't know what this is either.
Many men have wasted their lives in the foolish pursuit of Hominoptera. No one's ever found it. Most have never returned.
Like when he burned their mat or their map like a dick. He's like, "Oh, whoops! Did I burn it? I'm so sorry. Probably for the best."
Whoops,
dude. He destroys this priceless artifact so casually,
I was expecting to be part of the Magi. I really assumed that he was like the lead Magi.
Well, he was in the end, right?
Working undercover, kind of protecting.
He kind of was. By the time he showed up, he was that. He was like a Mr. He knew it all. I mean, that actually answered this question, or this whole reason why I was being a dick about burning it, was because he was like, we can't go there, but I can't let on that I know all the reasons why, like all the supernatural reasons why. I think it would have helped a lot, actually, if he had just said something. Mm-hmm. Like, that shit's real, and you're all going to die, so don't go there.
So maybe just let's not do that. Let's do something else.
Let's do something else.
Explain why he was all hung up on the plagues and everything else. It would have been a lot of story thread tying up for me.
Yeah, let's go after the Ark of the Covenant, he should have said. All right. It's a, what's this? Oh, it's a great yell or sound thing that the Iraqi or Iranian British guy's name, who I didn't remember, him yelling. Yeah. So here's a great little thing. I don't remember what it was.
It's pretty so sure short.
I'm pretty sure I make that sound when I get in the shower and then turn on the water. You know that one? You know, sometimes
step on a Lego.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to get in and then turn on the water, you know?
Mm-hmm. It sounds similar to my scream whenever I take like a muffin pan out of the oven and I put it down and then I take the glove off and then I pick the muffin pan up again. I'm like, why did I just do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Burn.
Here's Brendan Fraser talking. Here you go.
Lady, let me put it this way. My whole damn garrison believed in this so much that without orders, they marched halfway across Libya and into Egypt to find that city. And when we got there, all we found was sand and blood.
Something about his voice is weird, familiar, like someone else that I can't place. Can't put my finger on it. But every time I hear him talk...
Lady, let me put it this way.
My whole damn garrison
believed in this so much that without orders, they marched halfway across Libya and into Egypt to find that city.
I know it is.
And when we got
it's
there...
It's Tom Selleck. Oh, sorry.
Oh my gosh, it's Tom Selleck!
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. I was hearing a little...
That's Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
Dermot Mulroney in there, too.
Yeah, what'd you have, Randy? Yeah, Randy.
I think I got a better one, and I want you to play it again so I can say it.
All right, here's some more.
Without orders, they marched halfway across Libya and into Egypt to find that city. And when we got there,
is very Magnum PI.
It's Zach from Saved by the Bell for me.
Are you dead talking on. Mark Paul Gosselier?
Yeah, dead on Zach from Saved by the Bell.
Wow. All right, I'll go with that. I'm Team Johns Away or whatever we call ourselves. All right, this guy is funny.
I think I'll kill you.
Think of my children.
You don't have any children.
Someday I might.
Shut up.
He's such a little weasel.
Think of my children.
Someday I might.
Telling you, who did I say earlier?
Kevin Joe Connor.
Sam Rockwell. Oh. Sam Rockwell just would nail that. He would be so amazing at that.
He's totally that guy in so many movies.
He was
totally
also in Van Helsing, apparently.
Oh, the little weasel guy?
Another
this
connection,
guy?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I also want to say he was in something I saw recently. I looked it up last night. I can't find it now.
He was in The Blacklist. Is that what you're looking
for? No, it's not Black. Oh, he's also in Blacklist? Look at all these people.
Yeah, he's also in The
over.
Blacklist. That's, one episode, so like just a...
That's fantastic.
But he was Igor in Van Helsing, so
Kevin
very prominent at the beginning there.
He looks like such a nice guy in his IMDb photo, but he's such a weasel in his movies. Yeah. Let's see. I'm going to tell you if I think it's what I thought it was. Nope. Oh, 11-22-63. That's what I remember him as.
Okay.
He's the yellow card man. Okay. He was great in that. All right. Now I know.
All right.
Yeah. That was cool. Well, it's a better book than series, but still okay. Okay, this sounds like my dog Boomer. It's one of the camels, and I'm telling you, these are the noises my dog makes. Here you go. She sounds just like that, like a tauntaun mixed with a freaking camel. Don't understand
it's such a specific sound.
It's very, if you could hear her, I gotta set up a mic and get the actual dog sound so I can prove it, but it's just like that. It's so weird. All right, here's your Dora the Explorer moment in the movie.
Oh,
here you go.
I'm the map.
I saw the same thing too. I'm like, I wrote it in my notes. I'm the map.
Any of us with kids who grew up anywhere near the early
age.
Aughts,
Here's the thing. Dora the Explorer has a horrible effect on children, and I've seen it in my kid and every single one of his peers.
Okay.
And that is for years and years that things They start to say things with a question, and it drives me batty. They, you know,
I hadn't thought about that.
You know, like do you know what this is? And like, it's like,
are you patronizing me?
Yeah, and it's like, okay, yeah, that's how Dora talks. But it's like, oh my God, I don't want that. I want them to get the education without the habit. That's what I'm saying.
Wait until he's 16. Can I have the car keys? Do you know where you're going? I'm the map. I'm the making do that whole thing.
Map. Yeah. I'm the map.
No swiping.
Yeah, swiper. No swiping.
There you go.
Swiper.
No swiping.
Yeah, wipe from the front to back. Wait, that's a different thing. All right. Here's that guy from our thing in the beginning, but I just want to play it again.
It looks to me like I've got all the horses.
He's so good. And then you get the response.
Looks to me like you're on the wrong side.
I mean, that could have been dumb, but it's funny. It's actually funny.
I get a sore throat just listening to that scene.
Yeah, it's pretty hoarse. Actually, that was the scene where Rachel Weisz was digitally painted to be not see-through.
So, right, right.
Yeah. Otherwise, she's transparent.
You can see right through her.
Yeah, you can see right through her. Here's the weirdest yell we've had on Film Sack in a while, so I captured it. Here you go. There you go. I don't know what that... I think it was, again, what's his roly-poly yelling. And, I think he was excited. It wasn't actually getting
hurt.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, when he was going through the back alleys of the pyramid.
Yeah, he was stoked. Oh, I know why, because he had just found the scarabs that were actual jewels and stuff on the walls.
Oh.
Which I think set the scarabs loose, right?
Was yes, that, it did.
Okay, that was supposed to take it as that. All right.
I thought it was just
once it buried
made the ones that attacked him alive, but it brought out all of them.
I don't know. It just seemed like from then on.
I think all of them released later, right? But the one he had killed him.
Yeah. I don't remember when the river of scarabs started. I don't remember what turned that on, but
yeah,
they were there.
That stuff does freak me out. That was a good special effect.
Yeah, I agree. And when it just when they cover
swarms of things.
Me either, dude. That and the locusts, freaking F it all. F it.
Yeah. Yep. Swarms of things bother me tremendously.
Like
done.
Bees. I don't want bees. I don't want swarms of anything.
Locusts. No. Ants.
Bees. Millions of bees.
I don't want millions of bees. I don't even want tens of bees.
Too many bees.
Tens of bees.
I don't even want one of bee. I don't want one no. bee. One of no. bee. I don't even want ant bee. That's how serious I am about no bees. All right. This is a line everyone seems to remember. I got this on Twitter a lot overnight, so here's this.
He's still
juicy.
Yes.
Juicy.
Juicy mummy.
Mm.
He's kind of gooey still.
Yes. And then finally, and also a sad character, I think, this guy.
I'm the last of the Royal Air Corps still stationed out here, you know. What?
Oh.
Some bloody idiot spilt his drink. All the other ladders died in the sky and were buried in the sand. Good chaps, every one of them. Too.
Oh, I didn't realize he was foreshadowing his own death. Die in the sky and buried in the sand.
Good old Winston.
Yeah.
He's such a trope, though. He's like...
The you know, British, like the, good boy, yes.
and also the one guy who's still fighting the war and living this weird combination of luxury, but in the sand, you know.
Yeah, I love him though. He's got lots of Disney cred. He was in Bedknobs and Broomsticks. He was in those Rescuers movies, both Down Under and the original. He was on he's on Riptide. So hey, Ibbot, there you go. But just one of those actors that just showed up in everything. I was on a MASH episode, I remember once. He's just great. I love him. And he just died like 3 years ago. So
yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, 89 years old.
Man, you're talking about Riptide. Just reminded me that I saw Joe Penny last night in a 2020 episode.
Oh, I was going to say with the mall or at the Walmart or something, but no, in a show.
Right.
It's like, what is Joe Penny doing in a local South Carolina mall?
No, it was the episode where the actress from My Sister Sam,
yeah.
The one that got killed by the stalker.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, he had been doing some. Joe Penny had co-hosted some parade stuff with her, and I was like, oh, Riptide, and now I've been jonesing for Riptide ever since.
I'm looking at him right now. How's he doing? Oh, he looks great.
Yeah, Joe Penny still looks good.
Yeah, jeez, Joe Penny. A penny for your thoughts on how you stay so young. All right. That's it for clips. The rest of the movie is just a lot of yelling, so there's not a lot of great lines.
It really is like every shot that they could keep in that extended action sequence for the last, I don't know, hour.
Yeah.
It's like it. There's parts where I'm just like, they could have cut that, but I see why they kept it. It looked real fun.
Yeah. You reminded me of action movies and how Edgar Wright said this week that the filmmaker Edgar Wright says that Mad Max Fury Road is the greatest action film of all time. Just throwing that out there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I agree with him. All right. I'm going to play this now. It's the Film Sack Checklist. Best Weasley turncoat ever? Check. He really might be for me. Candyman should go home and get food. Or no, get good is what I meant. Get good. Oh. I don't know what they... Oh, because he throws flies out of his face. It was or late. It was late last night. Anyway, let's see. Always eat your own scarab beetles. Check. Trek Connection, we got a couple here. Jim Templar, who played a soldier in this on Enterprise, played a Zindi reptilian in the episode Carpenter Street. And Eric Avari, who we've talked about, Dr. Terrence Bay, has been in The Next Generation, DS9, and Enterprise as various characters. So, Eric Avari, all up in your Star Trek, for sure. We've just, in fact, we just talked about that last time he was on the show. What was that? Stargate. There you go. Soundtrack grade, I'm going to give it a PG for pretty good. I think it does what it's supposed to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, especially for the time. I mean, granted, it's not 2018 level special effects, but it certainly is what we were enjoying in 1999.
Right.
It won awards, right?
What?
It was nominated for Best Sound at the Academy Awards. And I think it did win some other awards. I was just looking at the Oscars, but...
Right.
Right. You said special awards. You said special effects? I thought we were talking about music. He won for music or something? I'm sorry, I got confused.
Nominated for sound.
Okay. Which is more like sound mixing or something. I don't know who made... Brandy, you probably got this dude in your library. You always have everybody. Who is it? Do you know who it is?
Oh, this dude. Hold on.
Sorry.
Oh,
I was just going with you. Whatever you were going to say.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Because you always like to talk about this a little bit, the music stuff, and I can't find it.
Yeah. So Jerry Goldsmith gets the credit for the composition on this thing.
Man, it's been around a long time in the movies we cover. That's crazy.
Yeah. The 75 year career or something crazy amount of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I look at like the Jerry Goldsmith stuff, I just can't get over how much I have returned to his sort of like bad action films of a certain decade. And it's like Total Recall. And we saw Congo for Film Sack. And that's a surprisingly good score. This is a Oscar winning composer, but a lot of his best stuff for me is sort of like also ran music.
Yeah. Well, it did the job here. Oh, I forgot about Airheads. I want to watch Airheads.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Good.
Just noticed that in there.
It's funny to get like a movie where Brendan Fraser and Buscemi are roughly the same age.
Yeah. Yeah, Buscemi's just...
They don't seem like it. Yeah.
Buscemi just looks like he was born at 59.
He does, yeah.
Just always going to be there. Shot him in the face, all that stuff.
Right.
All right, what else is happening? Oh, it's time for you guys to do the Twitter post. This is where you sum it up in 280 characters or less, as is the rule, and we start with Randy.
The Mummy. It went on too long. It was a fun experience, but it just seemed to last forever. Like the people involved didn't know when to stop. Just like Saturday Night at Ibbotson.
I was ready for it this time.
That's pretty good.
I didn't see it coming.
No, I didn't either, but it's starting to get into my everyday.
Just like a Saturday Night at Ibbotson.
I've started to incorporate this into other parts of my life, and I'm not happy with it, but it keeps coming up. So anytime anyone says something like that, you know, the old thing was to say, that's what she said.
Yeah.
But now the joke is, just like a night, just Saturday night at Ibbotson's house. Yeah.
Yes.
Well done. Dunaway.
Well, thank you. The Mummy. Like reading from the Book of the Dead. No, don't read from the Book of the Dead. Watch the movie instead. It's still juicy.
Yeah. By the way, he couldn't have been more clumsy by dropping that thing in that goo. Idiot. Like, how hard is it to hold
trip,
that book?
Whoops.
Oh.
And you know what? I could have opened that thing with, like, a screwdriver. I don't need that special star key thing. Come on now.
No. Definitely do not. Yeah. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
The Mummy. What a bunch of scaredy cats.
Because the cats were...
Because the cats were scared by the cats.
Yeah, they're scared, you know, by the kitties. That's what the way the deal was back then. Alternate.
The cats were not too fond of the mummies either.
No, they weren't.
I thought they worshipped cats.
I did too. That's my understanding, is they worship cats, but then I see these portrayals where they're afraid of them. So maybe I'm missing the memo on this.
I think they do worship cats, but he was the accursed. So it was bad.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, so the cats.
For the rest of the movie.
So a proper pharaoh loves a pharaoh loves cats, but cats are not beloved by the cursed. That makes sense. I get it now.
Pharaoh Fawcett.
Oh man, with her nipply 70s poster. All right, check. Check this out. Alternate titles just handed to me. Beatlemania. I was almost called Beatlemania. And then finally, it was nearly called Benny and the Imhoteps. Oh, that rolled right off the tongue in an improper way. But
Benny and the Imhoteps.
See, you know where I was going.
I see where you're going.
Exactly. Yep. All right, we're doing rapid fire emails today. I got three of them because I want to just tear through these and get them out. This first one came to us. All of these came to us at filmsack@gmail.com. First one's from Kent, who says, I just wanted to shoot you a quick email and say how much I have really enjoyed all of your content over the years. I initially discovered the instance during my playing through World of Warcraft Wrath of the Lich King expansion. That would have been Randy time. And have been hooked on Frog Pants ever since. My favorite show by far is FilmSack. Being a huge movie buff myself, I totally appreciate hearing the brutally honest thoughts and opinions about Hollywood's good, bad, and ugliest films. You guys have... Boy, that's a great way of describing us. Finally, somebody gets it. 10 years in, finally someone understands us.
Good, bad, and the ugliest films. I like it.
You guys have brought endless entertainment to me every day on my commutes and so on, and I look forward to it each and every week. With that being said, I have a few suggestions for possible movies that perfectly fit the criteria for sackable films. You guys have covered a lot of John Carpenter films so far, but I would absolutely love an episode for one of my favorites, Christine. Additionally, it would be awesome to see Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield and possibly the John Hughes written and criminally underappreciated career opportunities as well, which I have not seen. I've never seen.
You've never seen Career Opportunities?
No. I didn't even know it was a John Hughes movie. It's news to me.
Yeah, it barely, it's Home Alone and a Target, basically, is what it is. But it is, I don't think Jennifer Connelly ever looked better than she did in Career Opportunities.
Wow. All right, now you've got me. Not as good as that final scene in Requiem for a Dream? Not then?
Way better than that final scene in Requiem for a Dream.
Okay, just double checking. You know, that's my high mark, watermark. Anyway, says thanks again the entire Frog Pants crew for the hard work and dedication you bring to the geek culture and the fantastic shows to each of us every week. Also, one day Nerdtacular is still on my bucket list. Cheers, Kent. Well, thank you, Kent. That's awesome. And we'll take your suggestion. I would like to see Career Opportunities. I have no idea what that is, so why not? Let's get on the list. Next email is Michael.
Exactly the way I described it. Michael Home Alone and Target.
I'm in. You've got me. Does he slap his face in the morning and go, ah?
He does. And he sets up paint cans. And I think, oh my God, I think the bad guy might be Dermot McRolney.
Oh, great.
Now that I say that.
Well, good. Here's a clip. I can't wait to see what scene that's from. Next up, we have Michael Sizka, who says, The Dark Crystal is the subject. Says, Dear Sackers, just listened to the Dark Crystal episode. I remember seeing it in theaters and my younger brother and I freaking out about it. To this day, he still can't watch it. I tried to get him to listen to the podcast. He couldn't even do that. Any of you guys have a movie like this that you just can't get over for unexplained reasons?
Oh, yeah. But it's not unexplained. I know why.
Okay, what's yours? What do you got?
Well, I can't watch The Exorcist.
Oh, what's your
even
reason?
Even now, like, it feels so like the
no, there was a traumatizing moment attached. Mm. Yeah, I was just a little kid. My mom, who was also just a kid practically, took me to the drive-in movie theater. Thought I was asleep in the back seat, and no, I was not.
Right.
Yeah, so very, very young, traumatizing.
Movies can do that. It will leave you. I've said on the show a couple times about the one where the boulders are chasing the old people in the RV.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Or the one where what's his name cuts that lady's head off with a fish tank. Like, they're both cheesy, stupid movies.
Amityville Horror for me, but seeing it again recently was like, okay, wow, this is really nothing.
Right. Yeah. Right. Kids, our brains are weird then. Randy, do you have a.
The movie Taps.
Ah,
really?
What?
Wow!
Really?
All right.
Not kidding.
Okay. Which scene? What threw you? What was
So, I don't know. I don't know anything really about the movie. My parents rented it, and I was supposed to be like asleep on the couch or something, and they watched it, and I just like lay there and watched it with them, and I was too young to do that, and. I'm pretty sure it's like a PG film, and there's nothing like, I don't think there's anything really scary, but it was, you know, like adults, and who I identified with were the young adults in the film. Like, they weren't exactly portrayed as kids, right?
Yeah.
But they were in conflict, and I just remember it just scared me so much. Probably also a little bit like in and out of sleep, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah. So like I identified with like Tom Cruise and Sean Penn.
Right.
And for some
like we all do.
They were very young then, man. 81 this was.
Super young, yeah.
This had Ronnie Cox in it. Or Ronnie Cox. Can't help but say that. George C. Scott, Timothy Hutton. Billy Van Zandt.
It's just like a basic training kind of thing, right? Am I remember correctly that it's like a military academy?
I guess
or am
so.
I thinking of something different?
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I can't watch this film. I do not want to activate like the terror for some reason that I got as a kid.
Huh.
Wow.
That's interesting. I don't even think I've seen Taps, but when you're a kid, you're a kid. Things affect you differently. Yeah. Final email from Shay, who wrote in and said, Scott, Randy, Brian, hello. As I clutch my desk tight to not fall over from laughter, I can see once again why I love Film Sack so much. And here's the reason this week. When Randy said the fish thing in Dark Crystal sounded like a TIE fighter, I completely lost it. I think she means the dog thing, but that's fine. Then the gags about it needing a tune-up and veering to the left, and I'm banging my head on my desk uncontrollably. Then Scott says, quote, Luke, get the one on the left, and you play the clip you have all seriously made me laugh harder than I have in a very long time. Oh, sweet, sassy molassie. This girl needed that after work, she says.
Oh,
it reminded me.
Who's that from again?
This is from Shay. Edwards is her name. Shay Edwards. It reminded me of the clip Ibbett said sounded like the opening to Jizz in My Pants. The woman singing a downward scream, which also left me in stitches. Do you guys, do you remember which movie you were talking about when you made that comparison? 1,000 points to the sacker who can. Love the show, Shay. I don't remember.
That's a good question, yeah.
I don't even remember Jizz in My Pants, like mentioning that Lonely Island song.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I don't remember what it was. No memory of it.
That's hilarious.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we'd have, I guess no points for us, but points to Shay for the
somebody
great
out there. Somebody out there will remember and they'll get some points.
Yeah.
1,000 points, actually.
1,000 points of light.
I don't know where you redeem those, but I guess it's the Film Sack gift store at the very end of the ride.
Circle K. Wait, those are gone now, right? Circle K? Is that still a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're gone. Anyway, hey, that's it for the show. Our film next week is going to be... Oh, we said it and I forgot.
So I want to return to my tweet from last week, last episode.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but for some reason I tweeted, Michael Mann's third or fourth best film is still better than everything Roland Emmerich ever made. Suck it, Emmerich. And now we got to go watch Godzilla.
Yeah, Godzilla. Yeah.
Yeah. 1998, right?
This is
the
Hank Azaria vehicle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Parker Lewis can't lose. No, who's in it?
Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller's in it.
Yeah.
Matthew Broderick is always good. Jean Reno was having a moment for about a decade.
Love him.
And he's
still.
He's the professional, though, man. Come on.
He's great. Love that guy. He can be in all things.
Frank Welker is the voice of Godzilla.
Really?
Right.
Nice. Yeah. I remember the time it was pretty cutting edge in terms of the CG and stuff, so we'll see if that holds up. But it was more of a lizard. It really was.
Oh, interesting.
It was a weird off take of
it was, Godzilla. Yeah. And it's got, it didn't have to be Godzilla. It could have just been large monster takes over New York or wherever it is.
Yeah.
You've also got Harry Shearer, so you've got a couple Simpsons voices in this thing.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Back when they are all trying to get like bigger Hollywood moments.
I think it was.
Yeah. Hank Azaria still does a bunch of stuff. He gets around.
He does.
So does Harry Shearer.
Yeah. That's true. But Hank Azaria's role in Birdcage is still one of my favorite things I ever saw. Mm-hmm. He plays that gay maid.
What movie was it where he was all super buff and he took somebody's girl because he was playing like a surfer guy. What was that?
What?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Never saw it. Is he in
who are we talking about?
Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria.
Not that.
Yes,
he got all buff.
That was Russell Brand, I guess, stole.
Sure, yeah.
Sarah Marshall in that one. But there is a. an equivalent where he's like, he speaks in an accent the whole time, like a French accent.
Yes.
What is that?
Oh my God. What is that? Holy cow. No, I got to look that up.
Now I want to know.
I remember. I'm going through his.
I'm looking through it too. I can't find it. He was in Happy Feet too. Directed.
Yeah, I don't think that wasn't it. Yeah.
Directed
that was
by
definitely
the,
not it.
Directed by the great George Miller. You may know him from Mad Max Fury Road.
Along Came Polly. That's what it was.
Along Came Polly. Right. Yes, yeah. Right. Okay. Forgetting Polly.
All right.
Yeah. Forgetting Polly.
Forgetting Sarah Polly.
And I actually like that movie too. I don't know if you've ever seen it before. It's kind of crap, but it's also a lot of fun.
That's the Dumb and Dumber guys, right?
That's
Farrelly Brothers.
Right. Farrelly Brothers.
No, that's John Hamburg.
Oh,
is who it's listed as. No, this has Jennifer Aniston and Ben Stiller, and I think was Ben Stiller like a risk assessment guy.
God, there's so many movies that all came out right around that same time that felt like they were all Farrelly Brothers raunchy rom-coms.
Yeah, the Farrellys had a moment too. They haven't really had a moment since. Things haven't gone good. Although, wait, there's that Farrelly produced show on that AT&T network that no one sees.
Oh.
That I really like with Will Sasso's in it. I got to recommend this. Hold on. Will Sasso.
Best like Vine Sasso. Channel of anything.
Oh, he's, really? Yeah, he was the best Viner ever. Yeah.
Oh, that would be Marlon Webb, by the way.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I don't buy it. Will Sasso's your guy. Okay, that show was called Loudermilk, and it's
Loudermilk. Yeah,
I loved Loudermilk. It's got the guy from Office Space in it, and a bunch of other really funny people. Brian Regan's in it. Normally, stand up Brian Regan, amazing funny role. That is absolutely worth your time if you can track down how to watch Loudermilk. I don't know where it's streaming because it's that AT&T thing, and I saw it on cable, but. It's great. Loudermilk. Catch it. That's going to do it for the show. Filmsack.com. Oh, did we say what our next movie is?
Yeah. Godzilla. We talked all about it.
Sorry. It's so unremarkable, that film, that I forgot we were doing it. So that's next week. That's that movie. And we'll be doing that. So check us out on filmsack.com if you're looking for other things in the meantime. And it's a great place to sort of connect with the community, join our Discord, all kinds of fun stuff. Head on over there now. filmsack.com. You can leave us voicemails. I have one parked for next week, 801-471-0462. So do leave us your voicemails. Happy to play them on the show. And as always, you can follow us on Filmsack on Twitter. That's at Filmsack. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, for Ryan, and for Randy. What was that? Wait, usually it matches the movie. What was that?
That was that scream.
Oh, yeah. Was it the scream? Okay. No, I like it. It turned me on weirdly.
Oh, God.
We'll see you next time. All right. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.